Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Going to look at 5 verses 17 through 21. 17 through 21. And if you've got that, let's stand tonight. I know you've been sitting for a few minutes. And let's stand and let's read the word tonight and hear what the Lord has to say. And it says in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Verse 20, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on the power we need. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you are not changed, but Lord, your power is still available and is a mighty force that you want to pour out in this last hour. And God, you're looking for a people. Lord, you're looking for churches. You're looking for Christians who is desirous of you and empty and ready to receive that indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost. You haven't changed your plan. You still want to pour out your spirit. You still want to do things with your church tonight. But Lord, it's only as we allow you to fill us. It's only as we allow you to indwell with your presence that overflows your people and God makes us available, Lord, and usable for your purpose. And God, in this last hour, that you would drive, Lord, souls toward you, Lord, as your church is filled. God, we know revival will come. We will see a great outpouring of your spirit, Lord, if we are hungry, if we're needy, if we desire you more than anything else. God, speak tonight. Have your way in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You can be seated. I was originally looking at something that had to do with fathers, and then I kind of turned another direction, and just as I was putting my finishing touches on it, this just in prayer, actually in repentance, saying, God, if I'm going to even do anything talking about the Holy Spirit, I need all I can get. I need your anointing. And one of the first things I did, when I surrendered, I felt the Lord calling me to preach since I was a young boy, and I didn't want no part of it. I'd seen there's a price comes with it, and I know that it's something you don't mess around with, and I know that it's something very serious, and you don't take it very lightly, and I just thought it'd be a lot easier just sit back and let everybody else do it. And when I finally surrendered and said, God, I'll do it. I will do whatever you ask me to do. I was scared to death. And, when I surrendered, I said, the only thing I want, God, is that you will always be with me when I'm up there. Don't leave me alone, Lord. Don't let me be in the pulpit and not feel your presence. And lately I felt, and I don't know if you all, if it's just me, this may just be me, but let me talk from my heart tonight. In the last weeks and even months, I've just felt this stirring, this, God, I know there's more. God, I know you got more for me. I know you want to do things, Lord, and I know that I'm not experiencing all that I should be experiencing. I know that I'm just feel like it's just, you got just like forcing steps and go, you, if you want to, don't watch in the Christian life, we'll just go through the motions and we'll show up at church and we'll leave the same way and we make it just to another service and we get us some strength from the good preaching that we hear and we spend some time in the altar and then we'll get up and have a little prayer time in the morning and we'll just get enough strength to make it to the next day and just try to survive at the same time. The world, the enemy is like an onslaught that tries and wants to destroy your soul. Every direction you turn, the enemy is coming in literally like a flood. And it seems like you'll go through one situation and you'll run right into another. And that is the plan of the enemy, because you realize that the enemy knows that his time is short. And we are in the last hours. We really are. And we see that we know that greater than any building program, greater than any sermon series, greater than the best youth program, better than the best building program, better than the greatest song leader or praise team, all those things added together, nothing is more important than the power of the Holy Ghost in the church tonight. And we know it's important because we know, as Brother Clendenin said, that last words are lasting words. And the last thing that the Lord told the disciples to do is to go in that upper room and don't you leave. Don't you dare leave until you are filled and overflowing with the Holy Ghost. That's all he told them. You stay in there. You tarry. And you're going to know when it happens. And you get filled. Don't you try to go out and preach that first sermon. Don't you get excited and go out there and try to take up money for the poor. Don't you go out there and try to start any ministry until you do what I tell you to do. You stay in that upper room. And I'm going to pour out my spirit. And I'm going to anoint. And I'm going to overflow you with the power of the Holy Ghost. And you're not going to be the same anymore. Something's going to change. They couldn't even believe. They couldn't even conceive with their human mind the change that was going to happen in their life. For we see that these men who were meek and afraid and running and scared after Jesus, even after he was resurrected, they're scared and they don't know what to do. And they realize that they are the next ones on the chopping block. They're in trouble if something doesn't happen. But we see such a transformation in their lives when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. We see, we know. There's not one of you in here that I've told you anything that surprised you tonight. We know how important the Holy Spirit is. But when I look at my life, I have to say, but why am I doing something about it? Why are we not experiencing the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost? We look in Acts and we see Stephen, a young man who is fulfilling a task of just waiting tables. And we see that there is a stirring in the church, and some of the other outsiders are complaining against the Jews. And they're saying, you're not taking care of your widows. You're not doing your job. You're slacking. And we see that the apostles were wanting to fix the problem. But they said, it is not for us. We shouldn't have to stop praying and preaching the word to deal with waiting on tables. So we need you all to pick out seven men. And the number one requirement is full of the Holy Ghost. You see, do you realize there's something different about being full of the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about it. It's not saying the apostles didn't say, go find someone that has ever been filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, go get someone who's got a little bit of the Holy Ghost, but there is a key word, full of the Holy Ghost. And we see that the first name that shows up is Stephen. And it says that it's Stephen. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. A few verses later, it refers to Stephen. He's preaching and the miracles is being done. You see, there was something. His job was to wait on tables. His job was to serve. But we see something. He is so filled with the Holy Ghost. It says he's filled with two things. Faith and the Holy Ghost. I want you to know something, that faith goes right along with the Holy Ghost. Why is that? Because when we're filled with the Holy Ghost and God's power is so full in us that it's overflowing us, it is so easy for us to believe God to do anything. We can believe God to do anything when God is so full that we feel him in our spirit, in our presence, that we get around. Let me give you an example of this. We see the disciples who were afraid and fearful to do anything. And now that they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, we see Peter and John on the way to the temple. And what do? They see a man there begging for money. Now, they've got a purpose on their mind. They're going to go pray to God, and that's so important. They're going to spend that time in the fellowship in the church. But they are now filled with the Holy Spirit. They've seen this man before. They have seen this man his whole life probably sitting right there. And they've probably put many a coin in his bucket. But when they come past him this time, they're so full of the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't have any money, and they're not worried. Even if they did, they realize they've got something now that he needs. And they say, we're going to give you something better than any money or any gold or anything else we can give you. And they tell him, stand up, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Something about that Holy Spirit with them gives them faith. They didn't waver. They didn't doubt. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. They knew something was going to happen. Then the same thing in Stephen's life. It's the scripture tells us that Stephen, that he, there was great wonders and miracles. Great wonders and great miracles that happened. You know what? He's waiting. I can just see him. He's waiting on tables and he's taking care of little widows and he's taking care of those in the church and he's ministering to them and he's providing for them. And while he's sitting there providing for them, he sees that they're sick. He sees that they're crippled. He sees that they're suffering. And he's meeting their physical need. But inside of him is such faith because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, this is not acceptable. You know, inside of me is a God that can take care of the situation. And it says that he lays, it doesn't, it just assumes because of great miracles, he lays his hands on people. And we see great miracles and signs and wonders. You know what? How many times in this last hour has God desired to move in this place and do mighty things if only I and you would get so full of God that we would come in so hungry and so filled up with God that when someone has something wrong with them, that when we lay hands on them, such faith is so much power, of the power of God is in their heart that we are able to reach out and touch them knowing that God is going to make the difference. You know what? Is God weak? Is God weary? Does God not know? God has all power. And we see that this is exactly what God wants to do in this last hour. But why isn't it happening? Why is it that we are not experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Why are we not seeing the revival? You know what? I'm just going to look at me. I think there's some things that we need to do. If we really want, if something's really important, it becomes the focus of our mind. If you know me very well, you know that whatever I'm into, I'll tell you about it in about 2 or 3 minutes. A little transition. Brother Jarvis knows all about this. We'll get into conversations, and I will get to something that I'm into right now, and I'll tell him how it can make his life better. Let me tell you about this little thing that we can do, or he'll talk about something, and I'll find that avenue. You know, that's the way we are, a lot of us, is that whatever's important to us, it's what's on our mind. But we have got to get to that place. Is that really, is the Holy Spirit, is God's power in this last hour? Are we not dissatisfied? You know, that's one of the thing that has to happen. The first thing that has to happen in our life to receive the fullness of His power, we have to be discontent. We've got to become discontent with the life that we're living. We've got to be discontent without the power of God. You know, we can go through the motions and we can use our strength and it's got limits. How many strength has got limits in here tonight? Oh, let me tell you something. I can't wait to get a little older because it's already starting to go bad on me. And I still think I'm pretty young and I'm really not looking forward about another 10 or 20 years. I'll probably have to be rolled up here. So I know the limit of my strength is getting less and less. But there is something about the God says you're not supposed to do it. I'm going to do it. And when you see those in need, you don't have to worry about if you can do it. Because God says, if you'll just let me work through you, I can do anything if you'll just trust me. But it's got to start with a discontentment. We've got to say, God, I can't take this anymore. This stirring within my soul, I hope others are feeling the same thing to where we say, you know what? Yes, First Pentecostal Church has got such a wonderful heritage. It's got such a wonderful heritage. It's been passed down to us from those who've come before us that has been filled with the Holy Ghost and God's power has been so mighty. And here it is over 100 years later and the church is still going. But what are we going to do about it today? It's not good enough that they were filled with the Holy Ghost 100 years ago. It's not good enough that you got filled with the Holy Ghost last year or 20 years ago. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost every single day. We need to expect God to move in this place on a daily basis. You know what? This community is looking for the Holy Ghost. It's looking for something with real power. It's not looking for a program. It's not looking for anything but the Holy Spirit to be real. Because we have a generation. I think the last number I've seen, there's 30 million Americans that is taking pills and taking medications because of their psychological, mental issues. They can't deal with it. And they're having to take medication to be able to deal with it. You know what they really need? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to be alive in the church tonight where people can get the hope that they're looking for. We'll never do it. We can't do it in our own strength. We've got to be discontent. You know what that requires? When we get discontent with the thing within our life, we start looking inside. There's going to be some things God digs up. God shows you some things in your heart. What about repentance?
Do we really, really want to repent anymore? Has it become socially incorrect to talk about repentance? God wants us to look and let Him to reveal within us things within our heart that's not pleasing to Him and say, God, You're more important than anything else. Lord, I need You to clean me out. In Scripture, we see in the Old Testament, I think it was Isaac's wells, the Philistines kept filling them up. They were wells that was full of pure water and full of life. And the Spirit, the water has always been a symbol for the Spirit. And we know that they were flowing and life was there. And they were able to take care of their families and take care of their herds. But the enemy wanted to come in and fill those with dirt and fill those back up so that the water could no longer flow, to try to push them back, to try to discourage them. That's what the enemy is doing in this last hour. He's taking the wells of God's people that was filled with the Holy Spirit, and He wants to give you discouragements and things in your life that'll cause you to be weak and cause you to be discouraged and cause you just to want to give up. And instead of us taking, just like they did, and taking the time to say, God, I'm going to dig it back out. I want to get the things out of the well that's causing your spirit to not be able to flow. God wants us tonight to empty us out. He wants to help you empty things out that's causing His Spirit to not be able to flow. But we've got to be willing to be repentant before God. Even at 2 Corinthians 7:14, we know the verse so well. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. We don't like humble. I don't like humble. It causes you to be ashamed. It causes you to be embarrassed. It causes you to have to reveal the things in our heart. It's much easier to put on a front and to think, well, everything's okay. And if I look at other people, I'm doing okay. No, that's not what God wants. God's Spirit is able to look to the very core of your being, and He can see the things that's blocking His presence from being able to move. If we want to see revival in our Sunday schools, if we want to see revival in our youth program, if we want to see revival in our church, we've got to have people starting with leadership, we've got to get to the place where we just repent, that we say, God, be happy with my life. God, reveal things that is displeasing to You. God, anything that would grieve Your Spirit, anything that would cause You not to be able to work in my life, show me, Lord, and give me the desire to get it out. Oh, there's nothing like getting clean before God. There's many times that I've laid on the altar and tears have flown and pure agony before God, because I know that there's things that's displeasing to Him. But there is that cleanness, that pureness that you feel when your heart is emptied out and His Spirit is again to be able to move. We can't live without it, folks. We can't make it in this last hour. You cannot make it. You're not going to be able to have the strength to make it through this end time without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need it. It's the number one thing we need. Nothing else is going to satisfy that longing in your soul. No program on television is going to fulfill it. Nothing we could ever do here is ever going to fulfill it. It's got to be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not only have we got to be discontent, but we've got to have a desire for the things of God. A desire for the things of God. You know what? We so easily fill ourselves up with everything else. When I talked about Stephen, it says he was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. A few chapters later, it's talking about Barnabas, and it says he's full of faith and the Holy Ghost. You know what? Sometimes we're just so content with just a little bit of God. Lord, I've got these other things. I got some priorities going on. And I know right now in my life, this is what I think I need to be doing. And I know you think family's important and me taking care of them and doing some things. But I'm going to put these other things kind of in there. I'm going to put them in my life. And they're kind of important. I'm going to put them in first. And God, I'm going to give You a sliver of me at the end of the day. I'm going to give You a little place. Now, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. You know what? God can't do that. God says, no, that's not the way it works. You understand this is the way it's got to be. Just like when He told him to go to the upper room, you go there and you enter to yourself out. You go and you take your life and you just lay it out for me and say, it's all Yours. Every bit of it's Yours. And God takes care of it from there. When God fills you, He doesn't want to give you just a little bit of Him. He's got to give you all of Him. Every core, every part of you needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if we're just trying to give Him a little part of us, we're never, ever going to find what God has planned for your life. Listen, every one of you, every single person in this place. I don't care how great or how small you think you are. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. And many times, because we kind of get where we shouldn't be, and we start doing things we shouldn't do, and we don't really make God the priority of our life, then we can get to where we say, no, God, no, really, God hasn't got a plan for me. He's got a plan for Brother Jarvis. He's got a plan for my Sunday school teacher. He's got a plan for some of the board members, but he don't have a plan for me. That's not true. God has got a plan. His plan has not changed. The beginning of the church, we see that even those that were waiting on tables were filled with the Holy Ghost, and God did mighty and miraculous things through them because they made themselves available. They emptied themselves out of everything else. They let the power of God overflow them to where they had such an experience with God that everything they touched, every person they talked to, everything they did was overflowing with the presence of God. And we see every time it talks about them being full of the Holy Ghost and God doing something, and it says the church was greatly increased. People greatly came to the house of God. That even the priests were being faithful. Even the priests who had denied Christ because of their faithfulness, because of the power of the Holy Ghost, they were turning toward Christ. What's going on in this last hour is people's looking for the real deal. They're looking for someone who's different than everyone else. They don't want us to be just like them. They don't want us to go out there and do what they're doing. They don't want us to talk just like they do. They want to see someone who is filled with the Holy Ghost that's got such a great presence about them. We see that Daniel is known for his excellent spirit. They are looking for someone who has the Spirit of God with them. But if we're going to receive it, we've got to be discontent with the way things are going. We've got to have a desire for more of the things of God, and we've got to have a determination to touch God. We've got to have a determination. You understand? We've got to get on our knees before God and say, God, I can't do it. I'm never going to receive it. I'm never going to be able to make it, God. I'm going to see more things happen to the negative. I'm not going to have no power, God. I can't make it today unless I touch you. I can't make it today if I don't touch you. My family is needing you. And Lord, I don't know how to do what I need to do. I can't be the employer and the employee. I can't be the father or the mother. I can't be the person you want me to do. I can't be that witness you want me to be because I need every bit of you. You take over. You lead my life. You guide my life. There's got to be a determination to touch God. You know what we want to do? We want to get up and want to give God about 2 minutes. We come up and we go through it. I listen, especially if you're in church your whole life. I remember as a young person how easy it was to go. You get down and you learn the technique and you pray and your mind's really thinking about 15 different things. And every once in a while you say, oh God, Lord, have your way. Oh God, oh God, oh God. And you're looking, oh God, is everybody up? Oh God. And you can learn to pray without even really being serious before God. And we're not serious sometimes. But what happens to those people who comes in with tears running down their face? What happens to the testimonies of those that are so hungry for the Holy Spirit, like Mike Broughton was, that he goes home and he says, I ain't getting out of this truck. I will not get out of this truck until you fill me with the Holy Spirit. You know what happened when he said that? Immediately, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens when people get so determined to touch God that they say, nothing. There's no food. There's no things. There's no distractions. There's nothing. There is nothing in my life that's more important than you, God. You're going to have to touch me. I'm not going to give up. Just as Jacob, who was wrestling with God, even though his leg, his hip was out of joint, he held on for dear life because he said, I got to be touched and blessed by you. He wasn't going to give in to anything else. Nothing could ever compare to what God can do in your life. Nothing this world has to offer. But so many times we're so content with things. We're so content with practices. We're so content that we drive down. We're not looking for Canaan land. We're satisfied on this side of Jordan. We get like the people of Egypt who comes out for a few days and they start thinking, boy, it was pretty good back there. Those leeks and those garlics and those onions, boy, I think I could just set up shop right here. Things ain't too bad back here. But God says, that's not where I want you. That's not my plan for your life. See, God, and I can say this, I know this, God has a plan for First Pentecostal Church. It ain't over. God has a wonderful plan for this church, and it starts with this group of people right here who is going to put God first and say, God, make you more important than what I eat. God, make you more important than what I'm watching on TV. God, make you more important than the activities that I like to do and anything else, the internet, anything else. God, make you so important that I can't get my mind off you. That all through the day, I'm longing for you. I'm talking to you. I'm living for you. I'm desiring you to take more of me. That's what God wants to do, but it's got to be a determination that we're not going to give up until we touch him. Don't let the enemy cheat us anymore. The enemy wants to steal that ground. The enemy wants to fill up that well. He wants to push you back and say, you just go back here and you stay back in that corner. God's got nothing he wants to do with you. That's not the truth. God wants you to move forward. And God wants you to do mighty things if only we'll allow him to do. And then we need a definite move of the power of God. We need to see God move in such a way that lives are transformed, just like the early church. There was no question from the first moment after it happened, it says that they couldn't stay in that upper room. They spilled out in the street, and people were saying, what in the world is going on? No one had to say something happened in the upper room. No. All they had, every nation was there, and people all over the place were saying, what is going on? Something is powerfully happening here. They were confused. They didn't understand. And when they got listening, they seen that it was a mighty miracle because these people were all Galileans, and yet they're speaking in every tongue. Every single person was able to hear the greatness of God in their own tongue. Something was happening here. And you know what? That's God's plan for this hour. God wants them to be saying, not just that the steeple is on fire, but God wants them to be saying, if you've heard about the Holy Ghost that's going on at First Pentecostal Church, how people are getting filled. There was 50 people filled this weekend with the Holy Ghost. And the services was lasting out. They had to run them out after midnight because some of them had to go on to work. Oh, that's what we need to be hearing, is people in this community hearing that we are being filled and God is doing a mighty work. That's what we need to hear. And you know what? I remember when I got into bus ministry, and I wasn't very good at it. I thought I was supposed to do that because my dad was in bus ministry, and he had a very successful bus ministry when he was the director of the bus ministry. There was as many, I guess, 250 people coming in on the bus, or maybe more. There was a lot of people coming in on the buses. So I thought when I got saved and was doing right, and I thought, well, that was a position open in the bus ministry. I thought that's where I should be. That's where Dad started. I guess that's where I need to start. And I didn't wait to hear from God. So I just kind of stepped out. Boy, that is a miserable place to be when you step into something because you think you're supposed to and God didn't call you. So I hung in there. I did. I hung in there for a while. But I remember somebody that said something to me that just killed me. They said someone who had been involved in years past. It's nobody in here, so everybody relax. Someone said to me, said, now listen, this we'll never see this again. You'll never see a bus. You might as well not even try that hard because you'll never see the progress that we had. You'll never see that. Oh, it just took the wind out of me. Let me tell you something. That's not the case with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. We can see greater things. 1907, when the Holy Spirit was filled in this place and God was doing mighty things. In 2013, we can see greater things that they never even dreamed of. God wants to pour out his Spirit. God wants to bring revival. And we're in a generation that is empty, and it's suffering, and it's hungry, and it's looking. And we know that the people are turning to everything else, trying to find that emptiness inside their heart. They're trying to turn to anything and everything to fill that void in their heart. And it's all we have to do is let God have his way in this place. And then once we're filled, and once we receive that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, are we done? Have we accomplished it? Can we check that off and go on to something else? No. We need a daily refilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of Brother Clendenin and we know he has a wonderful prayer life when he was alive, and what an encouragement he was. And the things that he said and did. But I remember him saying, talking about his own prayer life, that every single day that he would press in. You know, it's a battle. Prayer is a struggle. And if any of you all try to pray every morning, you know what I'm talking about. You don't always feel like it. In fact, a lot of times you don't. You get up in the morning and that flesh is already waiting on you when you wake up. And you've got things that's going on. And everything in the world is trying to pull you away from that prayer. But Brother Clendenin says, I would press in. You know, he was a soldier. He knew how to be a soldier.
And he would press in, said, I would press in and I would praise God and I would just pray and pray and seek his face until all of a sudden I broke through into the presence of God and God would fill me again with the Holy Ghost. That's what the secret is. God wants in this place that on a daily basis that people, it's not just the experience, oh, I want to experience something. No, it is the power of God that when we break through, that all the strongholds, all the things in our life, all that callousness, all that hardness in our soul is now broken through and God has direct access to the very core of our heart. You know what? God wants to do it. God's not changed his plan, folks. God's plan in 2013 is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. It's for his church to first be filled with the Holy Ghost and then allow him to work through you and through me to touch this community and to touch this world. If you want to do something for God, you've got to start there. Don't try to do it in yourself. If you could stand, don't do it in yourself. Don't try to do anything in yourself because you can't do it. You don't have the strength. You don't have the ability. But God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. God wants to do mighty things. God wants to do mighty things. And he wants to start with me. He wants to start with you. And he wants to start tonight. He wants to work tonight, but will we allow him? Are we hungry? And if you're not, you know what? That ought to be the first thing we say is, God, that's the way I was tonight. Lord, as I was pressing in, I was praying over this message, and God was revealing to me, are you really hungry for me? James, are you really hungry for me? Are you really wanting me, or are you just wanting to get through this message? Are you just wanting to hear from me to get through this message, or do you really want something intense from me? And when he broke me, it just made me weep because sometimes we just want enough. Just give me enough. Just give me enough to get through it. And that's not what he wants. He wants you overflowing. He wants you so overflowing that when you get around someone else, it spills out on them. You can't contain yourself. You can't control yourself. Oh, let me tell you about last night's service. Oh, God moved in such a mighty way. We've seen miracles. We've seen people healed. Someone coming in a wheelchair and they left without it. Someone who had been lost for years and we've seen them come back. It didn't seem like it would be possible. Their heart was so hard. But because the Holy Spirit is drawing, we see the mighty power of God in this place. Folks, let's don't give up. Let's don't be content. Don't let yourself be content without the fullness of the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, God, you would have your way in this place. Start with me, Lord. Start with me, Lord, right here. God, I need more of you. Lord, I know that I need more of you, and I need it tonight. Lord, I want to feel like an abundance. I want to feel like a well that's overflowing. God, I want you to have your way. Start in me. Start tonight. Start in this place. Almighty God, let us be amazed. Let us be amazed at what you want to do. Almighty God, draw. Meet our needs. Draw us and overflow, overflow. Overflow, God. Don't leave one area. Lord, don't let there be drought in our soul when there is an abundance of the rain of the Holy Spirit. Fill this place. This altar is open. And whatever your need is, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to meet that need. The Holy Spirit wants to, if you're not saved, the Lord wants to save you. If you need to be filled, he wants to overflow you. If you want to be used, he wants to empower you. Find a place in this altar tonight and allow God, oh God, to feel, to overflow.